Well, welcome to Unprecedented, man. This is the series. This is the word. This is the moment as all that we're in as a church. Unprecedented simply means never known or seen before. And we just thought, and I just thought, man, that's what this series is about as we figure out how to navigate this insanity around us in unprecedented times. I heard someone say, that unprecedented is the most overused word in journalism, whether it's news or sports. Like, we just overuse that word. It's, oh, it's never happened before, when often it has, but that it's actually appropriate in this current time, right? Unprecedented things in your life, you think about things in your life that you've never, you know, changed everything, things that are milestones that you'll never forget. I think, you know, sitting up here in my house surrounded by some UNC Tar Heel memorabilia, I think most of us would agree that 2003, when Roy Williams decided to come back home to Carolina and coach the Tar Heel basketball team, that was, you know, it led to some unprecedented, never seen before achievements and even dominance. I'm joking, I kid, right? Now all the Carolina haters are like, man, can I even watch this? You can. We are a church that unites over all kinds of things that we disagree on. So take a joke, right? It's all good, no matter who you cheer for. And getting off of sports, man, I think about my life, the first like national memory was probably the space shuttle, the Challenger. Remember being in school, a lot of us remember being in school when that awful event, the shuttle exploded as the nation watched. And probably one of the most life-altering, unprecedented things was the invention of the internet. I was coming out of high school and going into college when this thing that, you know, we joked about and didn't really understand, and now, my goodness, right? It is completely, it's like we've never seen this, never seen or known before. That's the definition of unprecedented. Some of our college kids today would remember, at least right after 9/11, some of our young people that are out of college remember being very young. And again, that was something we'd never seen or known, an attack like that, September 11th, 2001. So there's all kinds of things, right, that we could talk about unprecedented, but we're not talking about that this series. What we're talking about is what we're going through right now, and this pandemic and COVID-19. And it is like, my kids are 16, 15, and 13, and 20, 50 years from now, they will remember 2020. Like, this is not a little blip, right? This has been crazy and different than we ever imagined. I mean, I'm sitting up here, I'm looking at this TV and just like little things, right? Like, has anybody else ran out of stuff to watch, right? Thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus, that NBA and other sports are back. But man, we had this long season where there was nothing, right? There was nothing new. There was no sports. It was just bad news on TV. And here's how bad it got at my house. Little confession time from the Joneses. I walk in, and I don't know which of my kids had flipped the channel, but I walk in and I sit down, and I catch myself too. We're watching cornhole. Like, we're sitting around, like, cornhole, if you don't know, it's the beanbag, you throw it on a board. I like to play the game, but we're watching, it probably wasn't even live cornhole. It's probably a rerun cornhole tournament from who knows what year. And we're sitting there like idiots watching dudes throw beanbags on TV because there was nothing else to watch, right? So that's where I was like, you know, I got to lead this family. I put my foot down. I turned the TV off. I had a family meeting. I was like, listen, guys, we've got to stop. We just got to turn the TV off and do other things. We're watching cornhole, and it can get worse. If we're not careful, in a few weeks or a month, if we're not careful, we're going to all sit around here. We're going to catch ourselves sitting here watching soccer on TV. And it's like that. Now, listen, I'm sorry. Now all the soccer people, the soccer lovers, are now they're mad at me. He's getting ready to turn this thing off. I've already offended the Duke fans, right? Because I was talking about Carolina. Now I've offended the soccer lovers. And usually that's the same guy, right? The soccer lover and the Duke guy. Not always, right? But anyway, I get off topic. I'm just saying, It's been crazy. I love going to the movies. One of my favorite things to do. I can't, right? This weekend across our country, movie theaters are reopening, but not in the great state of North Carolina. We still can't go see a movie. Some of us can't go to our favorite restaurants. A lot of our kids have struggled being off the court or off the field or out of practice. It's just school. Oh my goodness. We pray for you, teachers, administrators, counselors, and parents, right? If we try to figure out how to do virtual, school, all that has happened this week. And I don't minimize any of those things, but man, you know what honestly is really hard? It's Corona. This disease, virus, whatever, it's hard. It's been hard on our world. It's been hard on our country, 170,000 deaths, right? It's been hard on our state, thousands of deaths, and hard on our county, hundreds and hundreds of deaths. And even in our own Relentless Church, we have some people that have contacted this virus, and some of them have not had symptoms, but some have been, they've been hit hard. They've been really sick. And it's not just those that have been sick that makes this thing so hard. It's the fear of it, right? It's the way we've had to alter our lives to avoid it, or questioning how much should we alter our lives, and not really knowing who we can trust and who we can believe, and trying to protect people we love, and grandparents not being able to hug their grandkids, and separation, and not hugging like we're made for physical touch, and that's not smart if you're around high risk people, and how long should that go, and friendships and relationships, and trying to how to figure out how to be a human and have most of your relationships be online or on the phone or on a video call. Like, it has been unprecedented. We've never seen or lived like this before. But there's another piece of this. It's a piece we don't talk about much, if at all. And honestly, it's a piece we need to talk about. There's another piece of this whole scenario that's really hard. The thing that we don't often talk about, it's the darkness, right? As I stand here in this dark room, the reality of, yes, man, unprecedented times, this pandemic and all of that, but in addition to that, underneath that, and in a lot of ways tougher than even Corona, is the reality that there are what Scripture refers to as the spiritual forces of evil, the powers of the dark world. That's from Ephesians 6. That's not Harry Potter. That's real talking. And you don't have to believe in the spiritual forces of evil for them to be real. In fact, they would prefer that you not believe in them. But we do have an enemy. It's not a political enemy. It's not a medical enemy. It's not a military enemy. Ephesians 6 says we don't fight against flesh and blood, against other humans, but that there is an enemy. And underneath this enemy is his forces of darkness. And they hate us. They hate all of humanity. They specifically hate God's people, anybody who wears the name of Jesus. And they tempt and they distract and they deceive and they hurt and they want the worst for us. And they're always coming at us. We're in constant conflict. It says that the enemy and the devil schemes against us, but with all that's going on right now in our world and in our lives, these spiritual forces of evil, listen, they love fear and panic and confusion. They love to divide. They love to divide people. They especially love to divide God's people. There is at work the spiritual forces of evil in this. If there was rules, right? If there was rules to this, then these spiritual forces would have to leave us alone, because 2020, right? We got all the jokes and the memes. 2020 has been just too much, right? But the opposite is true. They don't back off when things get crazy. They step in to the fear and the panic and do their best work, the spiritual forces of evil. So as I tell you that, not to scare you, because I stand in a completely dark room right now, in our auditorium at 1540 Mechanical Boulevard. It's a completely dark room except for one light. And I hope you're having zero trouble seeing me. Why? Because it doesn't take much light to completely dominate darkness. And I tell you all that about the reality of what's working against us, not to scare you, but to draw our attention and our worship to the light, to Jesus, the name above all names. Do you know that Scripture declares that there will be a day in the future where every single human being, every single human being will bow a knee to Jesus, will say with their own mouth, "This Jesus is legit. He is Lord." Everyone will agree that Jesus is the name above all other names. And what we don't want to say or what we don't want to do is link arms as a church and go out there and fight against these spiritual forces on our own strength. That will go horribly. The spiritual forces of evil, we are no match. They will whip us quickly every single time, but we don't go on our own. We don't go by ourselves. We don't go on our own strength. We follow our leader, the King of Kings, right? The one and only, the Alpha and the Omega, the name above all names. And the reality is these spiritual forces of evil, they're not scared of me or they're not scared of you, but they are scared of our Jesus. Just his name brings so much power and so much authority. They know what he did to death. They know what he did to sin and hell. They know his authority and power over them. They know their future. They know they have no answer for him. So when we see and when we proclaim and when we sing the name of Jesus, it actually makes the darkness tremble. And that's what we're going to do right now. So good and powerful to sing those lyrics, declare that truth together. And man, I said everything I said earlier, we joked around a little bit about how crazy this has been and then the darkness that is real, but Jesus is bigger and better. And I want you to hear all that to get to this, right? Because I think we need to hear this. I think you need to hear this. I think I need to hear this. Here's what you and I need to hear. I think we're doing better than we think we are. Right? Anybody ever tell you that? Like, we're doing better than we think we are. And that's we as a church, maybe that's you, right? You're doing better than you think you are. Like, how can I say that? Right? Well, you're here, right? You're still breathing. You're with us, Relentless Online, or however you're watching this, right? We're still seeking. We're still going forward. We're still believing and trusting. And I know there's all kinds of levels of that, right? And we could talk about you, and I, you're doing this, you're doing that. Here's the reality, right? You're doing better than you think you are, not because of you. You're doing better than you think you are because he's working more than you think he is. He being God, right? We're doing better than we think we are because God is doing more than we think he is, right? Because our life has been so drastically changed. That's why this is unprecedented, right? We've never seen anything like this. None of us, has there been other pandemics? Yes, not in our lifetime. You can't go and talk to somebody who's lived through this. I can't find a pastor who's led through something like this before. It's unprecedented, but not to God. Right? He's not shocked by this or surprised by this or intimidated by this. He is working always. But here's what I want you to hear. Not that he's working always. You've heard that. But specifically in this, he is doing things specifically in you and in me and in us and in his church that he couldn't do 9 months ago. He is using this that was meant for evil. He's using it for good. And because he is at work and because he is with us and because he is relentless with his love and his grace, the reality is we're doing better than we think we are because he's doing more than we think he is. Let's look at this scripture this week. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. right? And man, can you imagine living in Thessalonica? Just, I would never want to spell where I'm from, right? But there was a city, and here's the letter. And what we call chapter 5 is Paul walking this church through, hey, there's a day coming. It's referred to in Scripture as the day. And it's talking about the day when we don't have to have faith in Jesus, that we get to see him, where the new heaven and the new earth comes and this world ends. And he's reminding this church, hey, you guys are going to see Jesus face to face. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Nobody's going to be expecting him in that moment, but he is coming just like he came before and rose from the dead. If you believe that, you got to believe he's going to come back. And he's talking about how lightness will always dominate darkness. And he does all that for 10 verses. And then verse 11, which is our verse today, he says, therefore, right? There, based on what we believe the future is, this forever focus, we're a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement. We're focused on forever because God calls us to that future hope that is real. Therefore, encourage each other and build each other up just as you're doing. That's what he says. He's like, listen, church, it may be tough and it may be dark, right? They were going through some crazy stuff in the first century, right? A lot of times their life was on the line because of their following Jesus. And he's saying, in that, remember, there's a day coming. And therefore, since you know that, build each other, encourage each other. Here's the truth. This is unprecedented times, and in unprecedented times, we need unprecedented encouragement, right? Our encouragement has to match the level of craziness. And Paul is saying to the church in Thessalonica, and God is saying to you, Relentless Church, he's saying this, whether you've been with us a long time or a short time, or maybe you're not even with us, it doesn't matter. He is calling us to build each other, to encourage each other, all right? And part of that is with our words. Right? There's a lot of ways that you can encourage people, right? Sometimes people don't need words. Sometimes they just need to be sat with, you know, or just being present. There's a ton of ways to encourage, but a lot of times it is our words. When my kids were super little, we used to teach them, when I say we, I mean my wife, teach them memory verses and would put verses to song to help them remember. And as they got a little older, they started to make up their own songs. And my wife was teaching them Proverbs 16:24, which says that pleasant words are a honeycomb, right? Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And my daughter, Mia, who I wanted to come on camera and sing this for you, but she's 16 and she wasn't even having that. She made up a little tune to Proverbs 16:24, and it went a little something like this. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And she did like this groove, like bones, like the bones was it, right? So that helped them remember. And still all these years later, we remember that verse because of the song she made. Maybe you need to start singing that around your house, but there's truth in it. Isn't that a crazy verse? Words, right? They're like, there's a sweetness to them. They're sweet to the soul. And actually, according to Scripture, our encouragement, our words, our affirmation and support can actually affect someone's health. Isn't that crazy? Right? Encouragement, building. And don't get confused when I say encouraging. It's not a compliment, right? A compliment is saying something nice about somebody. That can be encouraging, but encouragement's much, much deeper. It means that we're inspiring, right? We're actually building. We're calling people up. We're calling people. We're uplifting someone's soul and their personhood. We're helping someone be something they can't be on their own. That's not a pastor's job. That's a church. That's Christian job, right? We get to, it's a privilege. It's a blessing. Now, it's got to be authentic. It's got to be sincere, right? There's going to be a day where we're going to get back into this building, right? And we're actually going to talk about that and the plan next week. You guys have been waiting for that for quite a while. So next week, we'll get into that in detail. But whenever that day comes, right, I know there's some of us that, let's be honest, we're a little heavier than we were 6 months ago. This pandemic, you know, has caused a few lbs, right? A few pounds. Right? What we don't mean is, hey, the first time you come in this place and you see somebody that maybe gained a few pounds and you say, hey, have you lost weight? Right? That's not helpful. Right? That's in fact insulting, right? They would rather you not say anything because they know, you know, right? So it's not any fakeness. It's got to be real, but it is a lot of ways, but a lot of it is words. It's using your mouth to build people up, to encourage people. Now, there's a spectrum, right? Let's say 1 to 10. 1 is the people in our church and that are listening to this that are really bad at this. Like, you don't ever build people up. Right? And then there's the 10s, 8, 9s, and 10s. You're like incredible. Like, some would say you have the gift of encouragement, right? Well, here's what I'm saying to not to you, to us, to me. It doesn't matter if you're a 1 or a 10. We have to step it up. I'm asking us, God is calling us to double or triple or to expand. Like, if you're a 1, right? You got to get to 3, 4, 5 quickly, right? And if you're already a 10 and you're encouraging the mess out of people, you got to do more. Whatever you're doing, you got to do twice as much. Why? Because unprecedented times call for unprecedented encouragement. We need it now like we've never needed it before. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I know that I have a ton of room to grow. I'm nowhere near 10 on that scale. I encourage people a lot in my head. For whatever reason, it's a struggle sometimes to get it out of my mouth. And I hope God blesses me with many more years on this earth. And if He does, I want it to one day be true of me. And I don't know if we can say this today, but one day I want it to be true of me that someone could say, man, David Jones, he celebrates others well, right? I want that to be true in my house, with my wife, with my kids, with my friends, with my not so much friend. Like, I want to be someone that celebrates others well, right? That's connected to the gospel, right? Like, where everything is centered around the gospel. How does celebrating others? Well, I've been so blessed, right? I bet there's somebody in your life that celebrates people well. Like, those are the people in our lives that we're so thankful for, right? And when people do that, usually it's connected to understanding the gospel. The gospel freed us, right? Because we were rescued and adopted, right? Because God loved us so much, and He spotlights the reality that life isn't about us. So when you understand the gospel that Jesus, yes, He came for me, He rescued me, He adopted me, but life is not about me, right? Life is about Him. He gets the glory. I get to live in Him and for Him, and I get to spotlight Him and leverage Him with I get to offer Him my life because He has a much better plan and story than I could ever have on my own with my little life, and I get to step into that, and it frees me from the image, from the making you think good about me by the constant protecting of how you think and how I look and all those things. It frees me up. Now it's not a competition. Now it's not about me comparing myself to you or you comparing yourself to me. Now I'm freed by the gospel, not just from sin, death, and hell. I'm also freed from the game of trying to be better. And when you get freed from that through the gospel, one of the beautiful results is it's actually enjoyable to encourage and build others up, because other people's building up, it doesn't threaten you, right? The gospel makes us the most secure people on the planet. We know who we are. We know whose we are. And we love for any chance and opportunity to encourage and inspire and call and build others up. We should be a people that are known. I want Relentless Church to be known as a church that celebrates others well, right? So we're committing to work on that. And if you're part of our precious group, the Untold Unconvinced, if you're someone who maybe believes in God, maybe doesn't, maybe is a skeptic, maybe you believe in God, but you've honestly never surrendered your life to Him, like we're always talking about that trust moment, right? If that's you, then please know we pray for you and your first step, right? The main thing is that God is offering you hope and purpose, and He sent Jesus to rescue, and He wants to adopt you into His family, but he He waits on you to put your faith in him. That's your first step, is to put your trust in him. And we always would love to talk and pray and help you through that in any way. But today's message, today's takeaway, to go double your encouragement, because unprecedented times call for unprecedented encouragement. You can join us in that. Even as you sort through where you are with Jesus, you can make an emphasis in your own life to encourage like you've never encouraged before. Young people that I hope are watching this, right? Our college students, our high school, middle school, even our elementary students, like everybody can do this. Don't get caught into the lie that, hey, the older people need to encourage the younger people. That's true, but age has nothing to do with it. You know, young people, you could encourage your mom or your dad or your teacher, and it would mean the world. God gave us these words. Are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. We got to build each other up, and everybody can do that. Right? Here's what this message is. I hope it's short. I hope it's sweet. I hope it's simple. But what I don't want is a text or an email, or if I see one of you, for you to say, hey, I really like that message, right? I don't care if you like it. I don't really want you to like it. Here's what God's calling us to. Not to like it. He's calling us to do it. Right? And not for a week. I know how I was a lot of my life. I was kind of like a check the box guy. So if I heard a message like this, I would want numbers. Like, how many times do I need to encourage? 3 times, 3 people this week. Boom, homework done. Right? That's not what this is. No, no, no. This isn't, hey, this week, let's focus on. This is a lifestyle. This is the church that God has called us to be. Right? This is how we want to live. Till Jesus comes back and gets us, or till we die, either whatever comes first. So some of you are great at this. You're like, man, I'm already doing this. Great, do it more. Some of you don't think about this much. Start. I really think Raleigh and Wake County and our families and our schools and our dorms, I really think change, powerful, long-lasting change will come. And we live this out. So let's be excited about, in these unprecedented times, man, we can have unprecedented encouragement. Look for it. Speak it. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable for some of you that are ones and twos that don't normally do this. It's hard. It's like, oh, it's embrace the awkward. We're called to do it. We're going to build people up. No matter how they react, it doesn't matter. We're not doing it for the response, we're doing it because God calls us to. It's who we are. I'm going to pray for us right now that we'll begin. It won't happen overnight, but we're taking steps towards being the church that God called us to be in these unprecedented times and going forward for as long as God gives us. Pray with me. Father, God, thank you for the power of encouragement. God, help us get away from our little dinky definition of nice, something nice, right? God, help us step into what you say, this courage, this inspiration, that life actually changes through encouragement, that we would be over the top, aggressive encouragers, that we would be known for it, that we would step into it, God, that we would embrace it, that we would remember this by Wednesday of this week, and by Wednesday in 6 months from now, and even 6 years from now, that we would build people up with our love, with our lives, with our words, starting now. And we would do it in a way that even matches and overcomes the toughness of the times we're living through. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week is an incredibly important week for our church as we talk about what I believe God's calling us to do in these unprecedented times. I hope to see you back here in a week. Until then, go find somebody. Encourage them and build them up. See you next week.